I want us to open our Bible this evening in the book of Luke's Gospel and the chapter number 16. I want us to read the Word of God tonight. Just follow the reading of God's precious and God's infallible book, Luke's Gospel chapter 16. And we commence reading at the verse number 19. I thank you for coming and joining with us in the Gospel meeting this evening. And I trust you'll please remember the meeting tomorrow night in the will of God. And pray the Lord will bless us in that concluding meeting in God's will. Luke's Gospel chapter 16 and verse number 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abram's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abram afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abram, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Abram said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wilt send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abram said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abram, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. We end our reading there, and we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his truth. Let's keep our Bibles open, and let's just bow our heads in prayer. Eternal God and gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the privilege once again of gathering in thy house this Thursday evening to hear thy word. We thank thee for those that are here to listen to thy truth, and I pray that by thy Holy Spirit that thou wilt take of thy word and write it with power on the hearts of everyone that's gathered here. Remind us, our God, our Heavenly Father, those who are saved, those, Lord, are redeemed by the precious blood. We thank thee. And always, Lord, need to be reminded what you've saved us from. We thank thee you've saved us from our sin, and you've saved us from the result of our sin in hell itself. We thank thee, our God, our Heavenly Father, that you've given us eternal life and will never perish, neither shall any pluck us out of thy hand. We pray that, our God, that thou wilt open the eyes of those that know not Christ. And, O God, reveal unto them this evening just the reality of what it is to close their eyes in death and go out into eternity without the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, to this end, I pray for liberty and power. Please, Lord, close me in with thyself and give me the anointing of thy Holy Spirit. Cover me in the precious blood, ward off every attack of hell. And this night give us perfect liberty in the Holy Ghost, for we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. What a joy it is for a preacher to even stand at an open grave and be able to say concerning the person who has left the scene of time that they're with the Lord. Thank God for those tonight who are saved. We have a blessed hope and a blessed assurance that one day we'll see the Savior in his beauty, and glory to God, we'll be like him, and we shall see him as he is. But every one of us are on a journey tonight. You and I are traveling through this old world in which we live. Some of us started that journey a little longer than others. Some of you young people, it's not so long since you started this journey, but you're on the journey too. And friend, let me tell you, you know, a journey always has a destination. Not only has a start, but it has a destination, and so will you. This Bible that I have in the pulpit tonight tells me the destination point and place for those who know a loved Lord Jesus Christ. It's in heaven itself. The Lord Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. And then he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. The psalmist was able to concur with that, and he said this, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord, the house of the Lord forever. Thank God for that wonderful assurance in her heart, because Paul, speaking about that day, he not only said for me to live is Christ, but he said for me to die is gain. And whenever he looked into even the face of death, he was able to say, to be with Christ, which is far better. In actual fact, he had a struggle in his heart, as you read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and he said, whilst we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord, willing rather, he said, to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. Thank God, friend, those who are saved, those who are washed in the blood of Christ, can honestly say before God that they have this sweet assurance. Some of these days they will go home to be with the Lord Jesus, and they'll be there for all eternity. Now, the Bible tells us that heaven's a wonderful place. Some of us, our loved ones, are already there, and thank God one day we'll meet again in heaven itself. Revelation chapter 21, 22 tells us that there are seven no mores in heaven. There's no more sea, no more separation. We verse says we'll never say goodbye in heaven. We'll never say goodbye. But in that land of joy and song, hallelujah, we'll never say goodbye. Not only is there no more separation, there's no more death. Thank God the grave digger's spade will never mar the landscapes of glory. There'll never be a hearse that will travel down the golden streets of heaven, because there's no more death there. There's no more sorrow. And many a man's heart is filled with sorrow, perhaps sorrow over regrets of a wasted life, perhaps a sinful life, a sorrow because of disappointment, sorrow because of family, and so many things that can plunge us into sorrow. But thank God there's no more sorrow there. Beyond the gates of heaven, friend, thank God there's no sorrow in heaven. Bible says there's no crying. Somebody asked the question, why there's no crying in heaven? I'll tell you simply, there's nothing to cry about. There's nothing to cry about. In actual fact, the Bible says, and God shall wipe away all tears from our eyes. How many times have you wiped the tears from your eyes, friend? You've had to go back again. Thank God when the Lord wipes the tears from your eyes, entering the glory land itself, glory to God, there shall be no more tears, no more pain. Oh, I've visited so many in my years and have felt it myself. When the bodies of dear loved ones have been racked with pain, I've heard them, I've seen them. I've seen them cry out in the midst of pain, longing for relief. But thank God when they get to heaven, friend. I had a dear loved one. A brother-in-law just was buried last Tuesday, and his last 2 years, and especially his last months, have been racked with pain. But thank God his pain's over. His pain's finished. And friend, he's in glory. The Savior. There's no more curse. Oh, the awful curse of sin. Oh, the awful blight that has come because of sin. And yet, my friend, for the unconverted, the Lord Jesus shall say on that day, depart from me, you cursed. Cursed forever. But thank God there's no more curse. And then there's no night there. Thank God the blackness of night will never come. You know, there's people, I remember when I was a child, and let me tell you, some of the family at home, and maybe mother said to us, go out and get a bucket of coal or go out and get some sticks, because the fire was going out. And let me tell you, you were afraid because it was dark outside and you nearly would have starved inside rather than go out to the bogeymen outside. But thank God there's nothing to fear when you get to heaven. Why, there's no night there. Think of all the glories and the wonder, friends. Let me tell you, we speak of the land of the blessed, that city so bright and so fair. We speak of its glories confessed. Ah, but what must it be to be there? To be there, to be there. Ah, what must it be to be there? But thank God one day we'll know what it is to be there and to be in the Father's house forever. You know what the Father's house is, friend? Home, home. And thank God heaven's home for the children of God. Let me ask you, are you going there? Where will you live after death? Where will you be? We read the verse last night in Job chapter 14 and verse number 10. But man dieth and wasteth away, ye man giveth up the ghost. And where is he? Where is he? I remember when my father-in-law was dying. He was lying unconscious in Bambridge Hospital. I remember we came home from Canada, wife and I. We went straight to the hospital ward and he was lying there in hospital. I remember just as I was standing there, I reached in the stillness of that little ward and I reached for his Bible. And in the back of his Bible, he had got a white page in the back of the Bible and he had got these different hymns. He used to lead the singing, just like our brother used to lead the singing before the service down in Money Slade. And he'd got the lovely old hymns, the numbers for quick reference. He had in the back there, in the back page of his Bible. when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound. Would you be free from your burden of sin? Have you been to Jesus? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. And on, the lovely old gospel hymn. But I noticed there was one hymn, and the number, he had got a circle round it. And I lifted it up and I looked at it. You know what you called it? It was this: Face to Face with Christ my Savior. And I looked at where he had written that on the back, and he had put a circle around it, and this, he put a little line to the side, and this is what he had written: Face to Face with Christ my Savior. That is where my darling Edith is today. Edith was his wife, gone home just before him, 15 months before him, into God's eternity, friend. And he said, that's where my darling Edith is today. Isn't it great to know that they're in heaven? Isn't it good to know, friend, that if your loved one, if your mother, your father, your son, your daughter, if they're saved, thank God they're safe. Fanny Crosby was able to write that words of that lovely hymn. We sing it, safe in the arms of Jesus, safe in his gentle breast. Oh, what a joy. What a peace in the midst of the storm to know that your loved one has left the scene of time and gone out into eternity, but to meet the Lord where there is that no more pain and sorrow and death and night and tears. No more sin. Friend, let me tell you, that's one side of the story. I have to be honest with you tonight, because let me tell you, that Bible speaks more of another place than it does about the place called heaven. I want to talk to you tonight about what Jesus talked about. Turn in your Bibles to Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. And I want you to notice in verse number 22, it says, it came to pass, the beggar died, he was carried in by the angels into Abram's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And then it says this, and here's God writing the obituary notice. It says, and he died and was buried, and in hell. And in hell. And friend, I want to talk to you tonight about something that's reality, because the challenge is this. Man dieth and wasteth away, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? And you know, you're listening to many preachers today, even in so-called evangelical circles. You would think that hell has disappeared. That somehow that God has forgotten about this place. Let me tell you, friend, this book still speaks about the awful place of the damned, the place where sinners go when they close their eyes in death and close their eyes and go out into eternity. And in hell. That's the destiny of the ungodly. I have a godly elder, one of the elders of mine. He was a police officer for many years. Cecil was always very faithful. It didn't matter who he was speaking to, or matter how big the person had a title as far as his position in the police. Cecil faithfully told him they were in need of the Lord Jesus Christ. He witnessed to all his workmates, and he took every opportunity that God gave him to tell them they were in need of the Savior. One day Cecil was standing at the barrier of the police station, and as he was standing there, he was about to lift the barrier. This young police officer was going through. He was going home. He was going off duty. And whenever he saw Cecil standing at the barrier, just as he was going through, he turned to Cecil and he said these words. He says, Cecil, if there's hell, I'll meet you there. Ha, 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 and laughed and went on. That broke Cecil's heart, friend, that day. Because here was a young man that he had witnessed to about the Lord Jesus Christ and his need of God's salvation. And he thought that hell was a joke. He says, Cecil, if there's a hell, I'll meet you there. And laughed his head off, and then he just drove away. Well, the young man, friend, let me tell you, this is honest. The young man left the station that day, and he went up to a neighboring town, and he got on his leathers and got onto his motorbike. He traveled, he was going out for the evening just to have a night's pleasure. He got onto the motorbike and drove down a dual carriageway not far from us. And as he drove down that dual carriageway, something happened, and a trailer just came across his path. And that young lad hit the trailer, and he went under the trailer. And friend, whenever the trailer was taken off, the young lad was dead. And the last words he said before he left the station and before that evening was out, friend, he was in God's eternity. He says, hell, if there's a hell, Cecil, I'll meet you there. And laugh. Let me tell you, friend, hell's no joke. And I want you to realize before God the solemnity of your position if you are unsaved. Let me tell you, my friend, God says in his precious word, warn them from me. And I have to be faithful tonight, and I have to honestly tell you, just if this is where you're going, friend, if this is a place you want to go, you want to live in your sin, well, let me tell you, this is the end of your sin. You need to know where you're going. Now, if a man's going on a holiday, will he not want to see the brochure? Will he not want to find out what the place is like? You say to him, if he didn't know, what a fool to go to a place he never found out where he's going. Let me tell you, this is where the ungodly's going, friend. And God has not left you in ignorance as regards to the reality of this place. God has given you very, very clearly the highest authority, my friend, that you could ever receive concerning this place. It's the Word of God, and God's Word is true. And you know, it's amazing this. The Lord Jesus Christ, and remember, He was the Savior who went to Calvary's cross and He shed His precious blood that you might be saved, that I might be redeemed, that I might never be in hell. And friend, that Lord Jesus Christ, this is the one who's speaking the story in Luke's Gospel chapter 16. People say to me, preacher, how could you stand up on a pulpit and tell a man he's going to hell? Let me tell you, my friend, I'm just simply the mouthpiece. This is God's Word. And I tell you, I'm not apologizing for it. Because I've got to preach it, and I can tell you this, if I'm not willing to preach the whole Word of God, then the best thing for me to do is get down those steps, get through that door, get into my car, and get back to Macrophil as quick as I can. Because there's no reason for me to be here. I've got to preach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and this is the truth of God, friend. And when the Lord Jesus Christ, who is love, friend, when He was speaking to men and women, you know, let me tell you, God's Word speaks more about hell than it does speak about heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ in His own ministry spoke more about the reality of hell than He did about the glories of heaven. Because that's where sinners are going. And let me tell you, He loves you, sinner. The Word of God says He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and live. It's time you wised up, friend. If you're still in your sin, you better know just exactly. What does God's Word say about this? Some years ago, Elvis Presley was one of the great singers as far as the world was concerned. I remember going into Elvis Presley's home there in Graceland, there in Memphis, and walking into this empty place. It did seem so empty, and to be honestly, it seemed so eerie as well as he sang there, but yes, there was something seriously missing. And you know, Elvis Presley one night, his stepbrother was called Rick Stanley. One night Elvis was going past, Rick lived with him, and he was going past Rick's door, and Rick was sitting there in the bedroom, and his hands was over his head, and Rick was crying. Elvis Presley walked into the room, and of course he could buy anything that he ever needed, and far more. And so therefore Elvis Presley said, Rick, what is it? What is it, son? What do you need? How much is it? You see, Elvis thought that everything was bought by money. Let me tell you, friend, there's things money can't buy. I can tell you this. Money can buy a house. Money can buy a home. You remember that. Money can buy your friends, but I can tell you, money can't buy your true love. Yes, there's things that money can buy, and money can buy God's salvation. And you know, he said, what is it, Rick? How much is it? And Rick said this, no, it's not that, Elvis. It's this young girl, Robin, she's been telling me my need of Jesus. You know, Elvis Presley sitting beside his stepbrother there, and Rick Stanley, I'm quoting his testimony. He said, sitting there, Elvis sat down beside him, this is the words that Elvis Presley said to his stepbrother. He says, you know, Rick, she's right. It's about time we all stop fooling around and go right with God. Let me ask you, are you fooling around, friend? Are you living your life just for yourself? Are you living your life for your sin? Are you living your life for your pleasure? As if, my friend, it will never come to an end. I can tell you, the full stop of life will come quicker than you ever imagined. And if you're not saved, quicker than you ever want. Because you're not ready what comes after. And the Word of God says it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. What about this place called hell, friend? What does the Word of God say? Well, let's just turn in our Bibles here. It says here in verse number 22, it came to pass that the beggar died. There was two men mentioned in this story, two men. Now, let me tell you, I do not believe that this is a parable. Some people say this is a parable of the rich man and Lazarus. No, friend, I do not believe. No word does it tell me. Now, the Lord Jesus often talks about parables, and He says a parable, but there's no parable here. It says this, there was a certain rich man. And then it says in the next verse, verse 20, there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. Now notice something. If man had been right in that, it wouldn't be the poor man whose name was mentioned, it would have been the rich man's. But why does it mention the poor man's name? Why does it mention the beggar's name and doesn't mention the rich man? Very simple, friend. Very simple. You see, my friend, when the Lord Jesus Christ was talking about this man who loved Him and loved God, the Bible tells us that our names are written in heaven. He calls His own sheep by name. And the Lord knew this man because he was one of His. And therefore He knew him by name.
He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. The unconverted man, let me tell you, there's no name, because on that day when the sinner stands before God, then shall I say unto them, sinner, I never knew you. I never knew you. And let me tell you, my friend, it doesn't matter where else your name is written. Your name can be written on the church roll. Your name can be written on the Sabbath school roll. Your name can be written on the Lord's roll. But let me tell you, if it's not written on heaven's roll, you're lost. The only thing that matters, and let me tell you, people want people to love them and to elevate them and to praise them and to tell them how wonderful they are. I want to tell you, my friend, if you're without Jesus Christ tonight, you're simply a sinner on your road to hell. And God wants you to know that, because God wants to save you from your sin. And here was a man, and the Bible tells us in verse 22, it came to pass that the beggar died. Now, that's understandable, isn't it? Because the word of God tells us in verse 20, there was a certain beggar. He was laid at the gate of the rich man full of sores. He desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Now notice, he desired them. It didn't say he got them. Because I can tell you, the dogs would have got them before him. He desired to be fed from the crumbs which the rich man, from the rich man's table. And the Bible said, listen, moreover, the dogs came and they licked his sores. The only friend they had was the old dog. A boy said to me the other day, said Mr. McRae, he says, you know, a dog's a wonderful animal, and I love them. I do. All a dog has got to do is look at them big eyes and look me between the eyes, and my heart just melts. And I must confess that my dog started very small, but then it seemed to expand for some reason or other. I don't know why. But it seemed to expand quite quickly. And my wife used to give me quite a number of lectures concerning that I wasn't helping the dog at all. But nevertheless, he said, you know, a dog's a wonderful animal. It'll teach you a great lesson. I said, what's the lesson? He says, you know, the dog will teach you a great lesson about forgiveness. He said, did you ever see a man, let me tell you, and maybe the dog's there, and the man, and boys, I could give him a clip in the ear if you do it, but he sometimes would just maybe kick the dog away, and the dog walks over and licks his hand again. After him perhaps abusing him or hitting him. And the old dog comes and licks him. A lesson of forgiveness. But here the dogs are the only friends that this man has as far as earth is concerned. But listen, notice it says, it came to pass that the beggar died. Well, naturally, with all his sores and all the rest of it and his hunger. Yes, the beggar died. He was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Notice no burial, because his body would just have been flung out in the dung heap. And it says here that the rich man also died and was buried. You see, it doesn't matter what you have, friend. It'll not buy death off. No matter what you own, it won't buy death off. I can tell you, the more you have, just the more you leave. And for 50 years, I've walked behind many a coffin, friend, and I'll tell you this, I never seen money in the shroud yet. I never see a man from the coffin writing a check or paying a bill. No, friend, because you leave it all. You've got to leave it all behind. And this rich man, it says, he died and he was buried. But notice what it says, this, and in hell. I can tell you that. I'll guarantee the preacher didn't say that. Of course, that's not the preacher's business. The Lord has the authority to say that. I don't consign people to hell, friend. Let me tell you, God forbid. I want to see people saved. That's why I'm preaching this message. I want men and women to be saved and ready for heaven. I want you to escape hell. I want you to run from it. I want you to run to Christ and be saved for all eternity. Escape hell, and the Bible says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Hell's a place of terrifying reality, unsettling reality. You know, he saw one moment in hell, friend, he saw more than he ever saw before. He saw he was lost, and lost forever. I've often talked about a wee girl one time in Makara. It was the 12th of July, and there's this wee girl and her mother were walking down the street, and the place was absolutely bung with people. And this little girl was called her mommy over because there was an ice cream van. And she says, mommy, I want an ice cream. And naturally enough, mommy took her over and they got the ice cream and mommy got hers and the little girl got theirs. And you know what happens? You lose nearly sense and anything else and direction, and you get caught up with licking the ice cream. And so they did. That both of them got caught up, and the wee girl went that direction and mommy went that direction. And there was a crowd of people, friend, and the wee girl got away from her mother until the wee girl turned around to speak to her mother, and she realized that mommy wasn't there. And I was standing looking onto the scene for that moment when that wee girl stood there, friend, let me tell you. And for a moment she was seized with fear. And I saw this big policeman walking over to her. And because the wee girl was crying her eyes out. And the big policeman stooped down and he says, "What's wrong, darling?" And she says, "I'm lost, I'm lost." You see those tears, friend, she wasn't joking. When that wee girl realized in a moment she was lost, it broke her heart. Do you realize that you're lost without Jesus Christ, friend? Lost in your sin. And yet it doesn't break your heart. And here's a girl and she's standing there because she realizes she's lost. And here's a man and the word of God says, in hell he lifted up his eyes. And he saw like he never saw before. He realized he was eternally lost. Tell me, what does his riches mean now, friend? In hell, nothing. Absolutely nothing. And he stood, or he was there in a lost eternity. It not only is a place of terrifying and unsettled realities, it's a place of unforgotten memory. Notice it says in verse 25, Abram said, "Son, remember. Remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented." It's a place of tormenting memory. Son, remember. I tell you, you don't take your checkbook to hell, but you take your memory. Remember. And dear unsaved person, I'm going to tell you, you remember this gospel mission. If you die in your sin and are lost forever, you remember the hymns they sang, "Out of Christ without a Savior. Oh, can it be like a ship without a rudder on a wild and stormy sea? Oh, to be without a Savior with no hope, no refuge nigh." Son, remember. Remember every gospel mission that you've ever set and every gospel opportunity that God has ever given. Every meeting that you ever heard. Every solemn address. The hymns you just sang, perhaps even a child. Son, remember. Maybe some of you here tonight and you, like me, remember a mother's prayer. Remember sitting outside my mother's bedroom at night. My mother loved the Lord Jesus with all her heart. I remember sitting outside my mother's bedroom at night, friend. I can hear my mother pray. I tell you, I didn't need anybody to tell me that my mommy loved Jesus. I can tell you. She talked to the Lord. She talked to her Savior and friend. And when I heard her pray, I heard her pray for me. Maybe there's somebody here tonight in this meeting. Maybe you've wandered far in your sin, friend. But there's a barrier in your life because you remember a mother's prayers. My mother prayed for me. And here you are tonight. Maybe in this meeting, in answer to a mother's prayers, because she sought the face of God for you. Son, remember. I remember a faithful Sunday school teacher when my ungodly days as a child. I remember Joan, as she faithfully taught me Sunday by Sunday God's salvation. Now the rest of the teachers weren't saved, but she was saved. And I remember she used to tell me about my sin and used to tell me about death and about eternity, heaven, hell, about the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ and about my need to be ready. She was faithful to my soul. Maybe there's someone here tonight and you look back even to a childhood days and you remember sitting in Sabbath school, maybe a godly Sabbath school teacher that told you your need of salvation. But here you are years later and you're not saved. But you see, if you die in your sin, friend, and God will touch the spring of memory. Remember. You know, there are men and women, let me tell you, memories wrecking their minds tonight. Guilt. Remember the sins of the past. Remember the things that they've done and they can't get away from it. And when they put their head down at night, the guilt of the past comes before them and memory spring has touched. And the toss and the turn, the guilt of memory, regret. But friend, tell me, what will it be in hell when God says remember? Just you remember. Remember the opportunities. Remember the gospel appeals. Remember the pleadings of a faithful, godly minister in this pulpit Sunday after Sunday that told you God's way of salvation. Maybe the little gospel missions as a child. Son, remember. And then something else, friend. There's unsatisfied desires, unanswered prayers. Do you notice there are three prayers that this man prays? Now, let me tell you. He never was at a prayer meeting in life. And the only time he thought to pray was in hell, when it was too late. The Bible tells us, he cries out, listen what the word of God says. In verse number 23, "And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments." Verse 24, "And he cried. Oh, it doesn't say he cried whenever he was in life. No, he got everything that money could buy. But now in hell he cries and he says, "Father Abram, have mercy on me." Let me say this, friend. Isn't it amazing that this man never cried for mercy until he got to hell? And yet, my friend, that cry was nay, for mercy was over. I don't know how long he lived, but he lived a lifetime. He could have cried for mercy, and the Bible tells us that those who forsake their sins, that God will abundantly pardon. And to our God, he will abundantly pardon. He'll have mercy upon them. He will abundantly pardon. But the man waited until he was in hell, and he cried, "Have mercy upon me." Notice he didn't cry for escape, because he realized there is no escape. He wanted relief from his pain in hell. He said, "Have mercy upon me." He says, "Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in the flame." See what he said? "Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue." And he thought that. Let me tell you, just a drop. There's a wee man in my congregation, and he was taken into the intensive care ward of the hospital. He was not allowed any water. I remember going into the intensive care and sitting beside Willie. And he said, "Mr. McRae, would you ask the nurse to get me a wee drink?" I didn't know he wasn't allowed water. And I went to the nurse and I said, "Nurse, Willie's looking for a drink of water." She said, "Mr. McRae, I can't give it to him." I said, "But he's begging out for it, nurse." She said, "Mr. McRae, my job wouldn't be worth it. I can't give it to him." Well, I says, "Is there nothing? Can you wet his lips?" And she came down and she got, listen, friend, a teaspoon. And she got that teaspoon, it was sitting there at the side of his bed, and she got the teaspoon, she dipped it in a glass of water, and she just started to go round his lips like that, just with the back of the teaspoon. I can still see Willie, like his lips. And this is what he said to me. He says, "Mr. McRae, I'd gladly give him a wee farm for a glass of cold water. I'd gladly give him a wee farm for one glass of cold water." Friend, have you ever thought of what it must be in hell, when that rich man would gladly have given everything and anything just for a drop of water? And he prayed for it. And he cried out for it. He says, "Send Lazarus, the man that he passed by in his carriage many times, and he drove past him at the gate. Lazarus would beg for the crumbs that fell from his table." And he drove on as he sat there in his purple and fine linen. He says, "Send Lazarus that he may dip his finger in water." He wanted relief, but friend, there was none. Do you notice secondly what he prayed for? He prayed for his relatives. See that? He said in verse 27, "I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send them to my father's house. Send Lazarus, if he can't come to me and help me, send them to my father's house. Have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they come into this place of torment." You know, friend, let me tell you, the ungodly in hell says to every unsaved person in this meeting tonight, "Don't come. Don't come. They beg you not to come. And yet you're going on in your sin as if God didn't count and God didn't matter." He says, "Have five brothers, send them to them." And then he says, "That he may testify unto them." Notice that. He wanted Lazarus to give his testimony. This man wasn't ignorant of the gospel, friend. He knew about a testimony. And friend, let me tell you this. Maybe you have heard others testify, and you stand amazed at what God has done in their lives, and you know all about it. Listen, you know all about the scriptures. You know about heaven and hell. But that doesn't mean you're saved. Because you see, friend, you can have knowledge, but you don't need head knowledge. You need a heart experience. Jesus Christ is your Savior. That's why God says in his word, "Young man, give me your heart. Give me your heart. Surrender to me." I'll tell you something else. He prayed about something else. If you look in verse number 30. And he said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead." Notice this. This shows you his gospel knowledge. "They will repent." He knew about repentance. "They will repent." Yes, he had the scripture terminology. And let me tell you, my friend, you could have all the scripture terminology. You can have the words in their proper place, but if you're not saved and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, where God is, you'll never be. He says, "Send them, and if one raised from the dead, they will repent." They'll turn from their sin. They'll turn from their sin. But you notice the answer in all of those things. The answer was nay. Unanswered prayer. Tonight, time's away. Let me just draw your attention to this. It's a place of unending hopelessness. For friend, your hell will never end. I told you about heaven. The last thing it says, there shall be no night there. But the sinner ends in the night of hell. The Word of God talks about the blackness of darkness forever. It talks about outer darkness. It talks about delivered into the chains of darkness, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. The darkness unending. The blackness of darkness forever. You know, friend, many a man has been sick, but he hopes to get better. Many a business has gone wrong, but he hopes, the businessman hopes, that somehow the business will improve. But there's no improvement of your hopelessness in hell. Not a glimmer of hope. On the door of hell, ye who enter here, leave all hope behind. Depart from me, ye cursed. I never knew you. Into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. You see, preacher, is hell real? Yes. You see, we live in a land today, and it seems to be that the preachers today just consign everybody to heaven. You can live as you like and do what you like and sin like you like, but it doesn't matter. When it comes to the service, and everybody will gather in for your funeral service. And you could be the biggest hook that ever lived, but the preacher, he'll tell about what a wonderful person you were. It'll not matter that. You're already gone. The rich man died, was buried, hell lifted up as forever. Is that where you want to go? Two ways before you lie, friend, and each a choice must make. There's one upward to the sky, there's the other downward to the lake. Tell me, what's your answer? Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open that door, I will come in. He'll save you. He'll save you from your sin. He'd cleanse you from your sin in his precious blood. He'll make you clean and make you whole. And then at the end of the journey, heaven too, home forever. But what about you? Is it heaven, friend, or is it hell forever? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow in thy holy presence tonight. Realize that we're in a solemn place. Men and women stand at a crossroads. Joshua cried out, choose ye this day whom ye will serve. He said, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And yet tonight in this service, there are those that are serving Christ. And Lord, perhaps there are those that are serving sin and Satan. If they were to close their eyes in death tonight and in hell, they lifted up their eyes being in torment. Oh God, make this real tonight. Make it real to my heart as a preacher that I might realize that I've loved ones that are not saved. Please God, break my heart over them that I might seek thy face for them. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed in this meeting tonight, I ask you a simple question. Where will you be in eternity, friend? Eternity. God's unending eternity. Tell me, where will you be? Heaven with Christ, hell without him. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way to heaven, friend. And you'll never make heaven without him. He's the only way to heaven. You've got to come to him by faith and take your place as a sinner and receive him as your Savior. He's the way. For no man cometh unto the Father but by him. Will you come? You say, William, tell me, how do I come? Friend, you come as you are. You come as a sinner, lost, helpless, hopeless, unclean. And you come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him alone as your Savior. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, will cleanse you from your sin. Will you come to him? Will you come to him now? Just as I am without one plea, for that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. As every head is bowed and eyes are closed, let me give a simple invitation as we finish. If there's someone in this meeting tonight and you say, preacher, before God, I confess I'm not saved. And I realize I'm not ready for heaven. And if I die tonight, I'd go to hell. I want the Lord to save me. Preacher, point me to Christ. Maybe there's a backslider. And once you walked with God, friend, but be honest before God, you're not walking with God tonight. Oh, others may think you are. Maybe you want them to believe you are. But God knows you're not. Friend, don't waste your life. Wasted years. Come. Come back to the Lord. He loves you still. If there's one right now in the service, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed and God's people are praying. If there's a sinner or a backslider in this meeting, you say, preacher, lead me to Jesus Christ. Would you just slip that hand above your head that I'll see it for him? Indicate that desire. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Preacher, here's my hand toward heaven. Point me to Jesus. Don't miss the Lord tonight. Don't miss being ready. Come. I'm here as God's servant. Brother Johnson's here. Listen, as others are leaving, don't you leave, please. Come and speak to us. We'll gladly open the book and show you God's way of salvation. May God save you. Heavenly Father, write thy word in hearts. Please, God, make eternity. Make it real. It's a fearful thing for a man to fall into the hands of the living God. Answer prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. We're here to help you. Your anxious soul, don't go away without the Lord. And may God give you grace to call upon him. Speak to Brother Johnson, myself, or Brother Murray. We're certainly glad to show you from God's word how you can know the Lord Jesus. May God bless you.